Welcome everybody to another episode of the Everything Horror Podcast. My name is Paul Doski, and joining us is a lovely lady who is running a very fest coming to you this October and has been running for about 6 years now. But anyway, let me just stop so we can introduce the guest and she could tell you all about it because she's been behind it since the beginning, sort of ish. Like, yeah, she can explain all that. Anyway, without further ado, I'd like you all to welcome Enrica Jang.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And you know, to be fair, I have not even heard of that this fest existed until our lovely friend sent us a link basically saying, hey, have you reached out to them? And I'm like, no. So here we are talking. So yeah, I mean, it was just like one of those things where it's like, did I even get an email to begin with? But it's here we are. So anyway, so you are, I guess, in charge, I want to say, for lack of term, or maybe you just, you know, help run the whole thing. But either way, you run like the Polefest International, which is the, oh man, I really hope I'm not going to butcher his name now, Edgar Allan Poe stuff. But, you know, like, so tell us a little bit of how did it come to be? And, you know, for 6 long years, you know, especially with what happened 3 years ago around this era of time, did that even affect you guys as well? But anyway, I just want to stop talking and tell us a little bit about yourself and then just go dive right into what is the Polefest.
Sure, thank you. No, you're absolutely right. It's weird because the pandemic was, you know, 30 years long. Like every year of it was 10 years. So the festival's been going on about 6 years, but it feels like it's been going on 30 years because time does not exist anymore. No, the festival started in 2018. My organization is Poe Baltimore. We run the Edgar Allan Poe House and Museum in Baltimore, Maryland. It's a tiny house museum, the last surviving home in the city of Baltimore, where Edgar Allan Poe and members of his family were known to have lived. Folks who might know a little bit about Poe's biography, he actually lived a number of different places, raised in different cities, and had to move around. He was a writer, kind of following work with the magazines that employed him. So lots of different cities have a little claim to Poe, but his father's family was from Baltimore. They even fought in the Revolutionary War in the city of Baltimore, defended the city. His grandparents served there. And so lots of really deep roots for the Poes, the true Poes, in Baltimore. And then Poe dies in Baltimore. And so he has this incredible life and career, lots of tragedy, but manages to have this outsized impact on literature, goth culture, and just like to this day, really shapes popular culture. And then he dies in Baltimore under mysterious circumstances. And so the city of Baltimore really loves Poe, embraces Poe, the mystique, the persona, everything about Poe's history. And of course, you know, we have the body. So that's a big part of a city identity and very important to us. So even though we're a tiny house museum in Baltimore, Baltimore is known all over the world for Poe. And so people come to us. So museum, 620 square feet, people come and it's kind of like a bucket list item. It's a place like once you've been there, you check it off, you know, come back. And we, as a museum, you know, you always want to, you know, give people what they want. They come to Baltimore kind of expecting to see the House of Usher. And instead, they discover that Poe came from very humble roots, like this career begins in a very humble place. And so it's this wonderful moment to share with people that history. But how do we celebrate Poe's legacy and continue to bring people back? And so the idea about the festival was we can bust out of the walls of this tiny little house. We can roll out the red carpet. We can have vendors, stage, food. And it's turned into two, kind of even close to 3 days of food, music, stage performances, just a celebration of just anything Edgar Allan Poe. And while there are some wonderful, very cool Edgar Allan Poe inspired events all over the world, actually, we really feel that, you know, when you come to Baltimore, the question is not why is this here? The question is, why isn't this here yet? Why has this only been going on 6 years, considering how much the city of Baltimore loves Poe? And so a festival is a place where, you know, costumes and people can dress up and you see some like really cool performances. You get to pick up all that really cool Poe stuff. And the festival itself, the guts of the festival, the street festival, is 100% free. It is a free community event that is held right in front of the Edgar Allan Poe House and Museum in Baltimore, up close to his death date, the anniversary of his death in the city of Baltimore, which is beginning of October. It's October 7th. So we kick off the Halloween season in Baltimore with this fun tribute to Edgar Allan Poe.
Wow. Well, there's a lot to take in right there. But yeah, I mean, I'm surprised, like you said, like Baltimore didn't ever think of doing something beforehand. But then again, maybe it took the right type of people that, you know, stepped up to, well, I don't really know how exactly it would work. So, I mean, I would say, you know, you would step up, basically, I'm assuming, to suggest the idea to the town. Or however that worked, maybe like the meeting house there, and figure out expenses of how much it would be to run the event, and if vice versa. Because, you know, so does that require like shutting down streets, or like how does that work? Since you said it's like an outside free event, or is it like a park or something?
It does. It does. We close the cross street, right? And so there's an intersection right in front of the Edgar Allan Poe House. We close that cross street. We have really excellent neighbors across the way. It's an apartment building and complex called Center West, and they allow us to use some of their property. And so, but the festival is growing. That footprint is growing. We've got a new sponsor in Wells Fargo this year. I think that it's interesting because, again, I keep mentioning how small Poe House is, the museum is. It has a fascinating history, but it really is a tiny place. It was once a duplex and a rental property, even when Poe and his family lived there. They were renting the home there, lived there for a short time, but it's a house that was recognized as a house where Edgar Allan Poe lived. And then over the course of time, lots of development going up around this tiny duplex, so that they built a housing project literally right next to the Poe House. And when they were building it, they almost tore it down.
Oh, wow.
And instead, the Edgar Allan Poe Society of Baltimore begged the city to save the house, and the compromise was that they would chop the house in half, and they built the housing project onto us. So we have operated for the last 75 years as a small house museum in West Baltimore within the footprint of the first housing project built in the city of Baltimore. It's incredible. And so tiny, tiny space, it's hard. And it was a museum that was run by the city for a really long time. You're talking about budget. You're talking about, you know, small, you know, organization. Now, I will say, credit where it's due. You have wonderful events that have happened over our 75-year history. And you see, and it's incredible, every single year, people from all over the world, literally all over the world, descend on Baltimore, and they visit his grave. They visit the church, Westminster Hall. They go into the catacombs, where Poe was buried three times. But then they try to come and find Poe House. And I think that when the city turned over the operating of the Poe House to our stewardship at Poe Baltimore as a nonprofit, we were able to be a little bit more nimble and flexible with the schedule. And because we were our sole mission is the Poe House, we could reach for sponsorship. We've had some wonderful community partners come in, and as this festival has continued to grow, we've been able to sustain a program every year, which I think is we're really proud of that. We're really proud as an organization to have done that. And we have some really dedicated volunteers who come back every year, vendors who come back every year. And as you said, getting the word out, small team trying to get the word out, it's really exciting to get more attention. But that's the power of Poe. I wish we could take all the credit for this great program, but Poe still surprises me to this day just how deeply people feel about the work, how much of an icon he is, and still present with us in popular culture, as evidenced by everything that has been Poe, even just this year. And really looking forward to some really cool shows that are coming up too on Netflix this fall.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. Did the house, like, while you guys were, you know, talking about saving the house and all that, were you able to also get the house to become like a historical landmark so that it cannot get torn down?
Sure, yes. So we, the history of the house, and the house is open for weekly tours every Thursday through Sunday from 11 to 4. If anybody listening wants to come and check it out, visit us, even on not a festival, we're open year round. The house has been a museum officially for the last 75 years.
Established in 1949.
Over the years, run by different organizations, but in the 1970s, we became a national historic landmark. So I told you about Poe House being chopped in half at that time, and the historical unit that the historic unit that was established, that the family lived there, that part was saved. But when we became a national historic landmark, it means that nobody gets to chop anything off of Poe House anymore. But again, development never stops, and you know, the world keeps turning, and so you've got more development coming up. And we've been operating within that footprint for the last 8 decades. So, you know, you've got a lot of activity coming into the neighborhood, and a neighborhood in transition and development going on. And so as advocates for the house, one of the things that the festival does, we raise money to support Poe House and potential expansion as development continues. I want to say, you know, groundbreaking, but we're actually reclaiming some of the land that used to belong to the house. So, a lot of really interesting happenings. I hope you'll have me on again at some time, and I can tell you about, you know, all the really cool stuff we have planned, even beyond continuing to grow the festival. But every part of the festival supports this mission to keep Poe House open to visitors. And it's protected, but it always, always needs support.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, everything needs support nowadays. But yeah, I'd love to have you on to talk more about what's going on behind the scenes that the public can't really know of, and et cetera, right away, obviously. But yeah, I'd love to chat more. Now, I was thinking, I was reading something too about your Poe Fest, is that you guys do like a read-in event or something similar to that, where like you have... I'm trying to find where I read it so I could get the appropriate, way it was written, but it was basically like you guys are trying to shine a spotlight to upcoming writers in a way.
We do. So the festival, Poe Fest International, is short for the International Edgar Allan Poe Festival and Awards. The Saturday Visitor Awards are presented at the festival every year. The idea was that another little bit of the history of Poe House. It's not just a building that Edgar Allan Poe lived in, although that would have been cool enough. It is the house where Poe makes his chosen family. He's raised by a foster family in a completely different city, but then finds refuge with his blood relatives when he becomes estranged from that foster family, and they take him in. He becomes so close to them, in fact, that he marries his first cousin, and his aunt becomes his mother-in-law, and that happens at Amity Street in Baltimore, at Poe House. So famous for that reason, but also famous on the writing side for the place where Edgar Allan Poe launched his professional writing career. And he does that by winning a prize, winning first place in a writing contest that was offered by a newspaper, a magazine called the Baltimore Saturday Visitor. This is the first time that Edgar Allan Poe actually receives money for his work, which is a pretty important part of becoming a professional writer, get that money. The cachet of that first place prize gets him noticed by more of the literary community, and then he goes on to become an editor, a contributor to magazines, and the writer of Gothic fiction and poetry that we know today. So that launch happens at Poe House. So our Saturday Visitor Awards are named for the magazine that recognized Poe's work and gave him that first place prize. And so our awards recognize a new generation of artists and writers inspired by Edgar Allan Poe. All those people who come from all over the world, many of them creators, folks who deeply moved by Poe's work, inspired to create their own works. And we kept seeing such really great stuff. And when you have a tiny little gift shop, there's only so much room you can, you know, really feature some of this really great stuff. So the awards were our way of recognizing just, again, that outsized impact that Poe has had on popular culture, but also the people who continue to be inspired by Poe and continue his legacy. We offer the awards in two categories, sort of what you'd expect, you know, the classic adaptations of Poe's work, even though you still see some really creative works and that kind of thing. And then original works inspired by Poe, whereas they're not necessarily taking only Poe's words or his likeness, but they're also doing original works inspired by him and taking him in a different direction. So really proud of the awards. We've seen a wonderful, wonderful array of work from creators all over the world, literally all over the world. The awards are what make the festival international. And I think people are really going to be excited. We've seen every year has been better, better and better, and more people coming in. So super excited about that.
Yeah, it definitely helped getting the word out there more, and the people that do, you know, show up to have a fun time, they can go back, like, wherever they came from, if they aren't even from, like, Baltimore or the general area. And, like, for somebody like me, like, I could travel over there and then come back to my state and just be like, look, I had a pretty fun time over here. Like, you know, like, maybe next year we all should just get like a van or something and drive down so we can, you know, all have a good time during the weekend.
The delegation. I want to see it. I want to see the Vermont delegation coming down, procession down that. We should see.
That would be fun.
A whole procession of cars like you're going to a funeral, which is, I mean, it's a party, but we are, you know, commemorating Poe's death in the city. It's Death Weekend. So I would love that. State to state. Like, get it rolling.
get it rolling.
That'd be fantastic.
Maybe if I can find, like, a van that's, like, that I can turn it into, like, the, you know, the Scooby-Doo gang van or something and just spray paint it and figure out, like, a different way to do it, obviously. Like, somehow
your local mortuary might have a spare hearse or something like that. You might be able to.
That would work, too. So you got, like, a lot of things going on, like, when it comes to this fest. As you were telling me before we recorded, is, like, there's a lot to get together and, like, everything else, and I probably can't even name everything that you do, like, obviously, but you guys do all this. You guys have, like, a special event for your Saturday and Sunday for outside, which you mentioned is free. You got, like, music. You got, looked like, from the pictures, it looked like some sort of, like, dancing or ballerina, maybe that might be the better way of putting it, but, like, there seems to be a lot going on, maybe even, like, some sort of poetry reading, because I'm seeing, like, in one video, there looked like to be two people, kind of, like, mics in their hand, but they're dressed up as Poe, but I don't know if they're trying to read, like, Nevermore or something, you know, like, I don't know what's going on in that picture, but, I mean, there's even, like, a bus tour and stuff like that. Like, I mean, the list kind of keeps going, but I guess what I'm trying to get at, or what I'm trying to get to this conclude is, at the very beginning, was it kind of started off small, and then as each year moving forward happened, you guys kind of gradually like added things?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of the nature of, you know, you put something together and you're putting out, you know, your best effort. And then right. folks come and hopefully they have a good time and you get suggestions or you learn what might have been cool, or you don't have the budget to do one thing one year. But then you think about, okay, we didn't have the budget last year. What can we do this year? And what could be, you need me. The other thing that I think was really important, is really important to our team, is Ho House's bucket list item, where you cross it off your list and you don't come back, or you don't need to come back, or don't feel you have to come back. The festival should never feel that way. Just because you've been to the festival once doesn't mean that when you come again that there's not something new to do, something different to see, something exciting, and you know, you're returning and seeing some of the best stuff again, and if it's really good you want to, but then there's got to be something new to, you know, reward the folks who are coming back year after year. And we're trying to, you know, continue to build this tradition, and I love the fact that, you know, folks are making this a destination every year. It's something that kicks off their Halloween schedule. It's something that, you know, gets everybody in the mood because it's the beginning of October, or it means a lot to them to see these stories and these poems performed in creative and new ways. You mentioned the ballerinas. Ballet Embody has come out every few years, and they do Poe-inspired routines. This year is a really interesting year because there were two kind of Poe-adjacent dances that kind of came out this year in popular culture. The first one was over in Europe with Eurovision. The Austrian team, Thea and Selena, they did a Who the Hell is Edgar song as their entry for Eurovision. And then there's an accompanying TikTok dance, and the ballerinas are going to be teaching everybody how to do this TikTok dance, which is just amazing. And then every year we do a gala event called the Black Cat Ball. This year is the theme is Gothic Prom, so it's a Poe prom. But we, you know, riffed on the, if you've watched on Netflix, the Addams Family Wednesday, the dance that Jenna Ortega does as Wednesday at the Raven Dance on that show just really inspired people to kind of create their own moves. And even, you know, she improvised that entire dance, but like it's become this iconic thing. So I'm really excited to see the Raven dance off at the Black Cat Ball this year and see what people come up with their really cool dance moves at Poe Prom. So, it's just a lot of fun. But it's funny because you see classic adaptations, you know, sometimes on this stage, but then, you know, we've always wanted to bring in their musical interpretations. And sometimes it's just fun. Sometimes it's just really cool music. Last year we had the Embalmers. This year we're welcoming the Ultra Kings. They just played at Blob Fest. And, you know, it's just Halloween, cool, fun music. And then you switch gears, you do something else. We've got Spicy Opera and Impressa Ensemble coming out. Another group, Kristen Osling, she plays rock cello. And she's going to be playing the number from Wednesday, again, from that show. And then also, you know, Paint It Black and all these other really cool kinds of things, but that whole goth aesthetic that comes with Edgar Allan Poe gets to be on full display at our street festival. And again, the street festival, that whole program outside is completely free. And you have vendors who bring just really cool stuff from, you know, everywhere. And you get all the Poe things, you get to see all the Poe things. And then there are additional ticketed events. You mentioned our bus tour. It does take you around the city to other locations in the city that were important, especially play a role in Edgar Allan Poe's death. And it also includes a tour of Westminster Hall, where Poe is buried. Again, he was buried three times there. And then We have the Murder Mystery Company is coming out. They're going to be doing some murder mystery games on stage. And then one of the winners of the Saturday Visitor Awards last year, Stephen Smith, he's coming direct from London, and he's going to be doing a one-man Poe tent at the festival. He's performing The Black Cat. He's performing The Raven. I think it's the Mask of the Red Death. I'm going to have to double check my program on that. But he's going to be performing all day long as a one-man Poe. And we will only ask a donation to see this incredible man's work all day long. So it just gives you a sense of just like how weird and crazy and fun the festival can be. And it's because of the people who come to participate in this event and the attendees who dress up and make it cool. This year will be the first year for our costume Poe raid, our kind of procession through the festival grounds. And then on Sunday, we're going to have a Bloody Mary brunch to recover from the Black Cat Ball. So just some really fun. You can tell, like, I hope you can tell how proud I am of the team that has put together these things year after year. But I'm also even more excited for once this year happened, you get fresh ideas from folks who've come and they want to see new things and people want to come and participate. So we welcome everybody and come experience it once and then come back and help make it even better.
Perfect. I'm trying to figure out where to go from here because, like, I know, like, we're trying to, you know, get everything that we possibly can. So, obviously, the Saturday and Sunday thing is free for, like, general admission and stuff like that. So, I'm trying to see here for tickets and stuff. That's for, like, the house, the museum, the masquerade for this thing, but like the dance off and stuff like that. So I guess like, so what do you get if I were to like try to get like the VIP stuff? Like what, I guess, sure. What's different between like a VIP ticket versus like a regular, you know, ticket to like the prom thing?
Sure. The Black Cat Ball this year is at Westminster Hall, which is the church in the cemetery where Edgar Allan Poe is buried. It's an event hall now. It's no longer has church services, but you too can have a party at Westminster Hall if you book it. But the Black Cat Ball is just a really fun event. It's all inclusive for food and beer and wine and the entertainment for the evening. We do have a very limited VIP ticket, and this year it's our royal prom court. What's special about Westminster Hall is it's built over, it was actually built in the cemetery after the graveyard was already there. So the graveyard was there first, and then they built the church. When they did that, they built it over top of the existing graveyard. And so what that did was create this really cool catacombs right underneath the church. It's a very limited space. And I keep talking about how limited in space and all this other stuff, but we're talking about historical sites. So not your typical commercial buildings where you can, you know, have folks out and modern systems and stuff like that. So these are very old historical places. And so the catacombs underneath Westminster Hall have these beautiful, beautiful crypts and beautiful stones that are there and wonderful history. And a lot of really important Baltimoreans have been buried there. But we are also going to be staging a special performance in the catacombs. I mentioned Stephen Smith, who's coming from London to perform at the festival. He will be performing the only time this weekend. He will be performing The Pit and the Pendulum in the Westminster Catacombs that night. It is such a great and cool opportunity to not only see inside this historic, beautiful church, go into these really cool, spooky catacombs, but then see Edgar Allan Poe's Pit and the Pendulum by this incredible actor who does such a wonderful job performing his one-man Poe. So super excited about that. And then it is Poe prom, so there's a spiked punch bowl, and you get an enamel pin, and you are prom. You're part of the royal court officially if you get that VIP ticket. But all these things are a lot of fun, and we try to, you know, create some special opportunities for folks. But I think that, you know, no matter where you fall in the budget, there's something special for you.
Perfect. Yeah, it sounds like a crazy weekend, and sounds like no wonder why people have fun, because it sounds like you can drink, dance, laugh it off, eat, and then go to bed and wake up the next day and do it all over again.
Why would you go to bed? Just go on a ghost tour and then like wander.
That is true. That is true. Since you mentioned that, you know what? I'll ask it, since it is getting into that time of year. So with the whole Poe House and stuff like that, so have you guys ever had any weird experiences happen, like, that you can't really explain?
There's several questions in there. Have there been weird experiences that I can't explain? Absolutely. Is it haunted? I hesitate because, and the only reason is because this is a sort of a, I, as just myself, and accidentally, not even on purpose, I have somehow managed to work in some of the most haunted places in the United States. Just in general, I worked in a cemetery, selling plots as a job. At one time, I worked at Moon River Brewing Company in Savannah, Georgia, on River Street, which is in this very old hotel, the oldest hotel in the United States, and like one of the, like, History Channel one year called it the most haunted building in the United States. I worked there. I lived in an apartment building that was built on an old cemetery, and all this other stuff. And all of those places, nothing has happened for me. Knock on wood. But it happens to people around me all the time. But I haven't experienced that. And my husband makes fun of me because he's like, you know, the ghosts know you want to talk to them. So they're just like, you can't sit with us. So I feel like it happens to everybody around me. It just doesn't with me. But there have been things that have happened at Poe House that I really can't explain. One of them was, the city had come in, to do a couple of inspections. It's an old historic house. It's a historic site. So, repair work does have to happen. And so they were coming through and just kind of, taking a look at the bricks, outside, taking a look at the floors inside, going through the whole building. And they spent a good chunk of the day there kind of making notes and talking and all this other stuff. And so, they come back through, finish up their stuff, and then they go. And we had our remaining tours the rest of the day. Every single one of those remaining tours the rest of the day, somebody came up to me and said, do you ever, like, over your shoulder, do you ever, and completely different tours, different folks, saying this to me. And I feel like maybe the house heard them talking about it and just wanted everybody to know I'm here. You don't have to talk about me like I'm not here. So that day was a really interesting day. But again, not to me. It's to everybody else around me.
Well, I mean, you know, it could happen. It could very well be haunted per se, but is it really pulled there? I mean, that...
I want to make clear, I'm not, like, asking, because I don't want to be scared. No, I'm not hoping for it. It would be cool to talk to a friendly ghost. I don't know if I want to talk to ghosts.
Well, they're probably watching over you anyway, but I will say ghosts are known to be more active as you do restorations anyway. So,
okay. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. They draw the energy from that because you're rebuilding what they call their home per se. So it's a good way for them to power up per se, not like be angry because you guys are destroying their house. So in this case, if Poe is there, I'll just say, You know, he probably like, you know what? I like it. It's not falling apart anymore. That's it. My job done to look over the house is what I would just say.
That makes me happy. That's good. Because everything we do is to keep Poe House, you know, open and in good shape. So I hope they approve.
I would hope so too. Now, when it comes to planning for like the competition, you know, write-in per se for like your Saturday award. Now, how does one enter like the competitions or even like the Saturday awards?
Sure. Saturday Visitor Awards, we open call for entries on Poe's birthday every year. Bit of trivia. January 19th every year, the portal call for entries opens at poebaltimore.org. We post that information and folks have, I think it's about 5 months to submit their work. There is a $25 entry fee. But there's no limit. It's not just a writing competition, though we've seen some wonderful written works. Media, any kind of media, any kind of genre, we have seen beadwork, we have seen paintings, we have seen films, we've seen short stories, poetry, all of these things. There's no limit to medium, no limit to genre, even kids' books. And again, two categories, adaptation or original works. You submit your piece, and our judges come from different, we call them Poe places, different Poe places around the country. We've been very fortunate to welcome Chris Sempner, who's the curator at the Poe Museum, Richmond, Roger McCormick, who is the steward at the Poe Cottage in New York. We've had members of the Poe Studies Association. We've had folks from the Poe Society. So every year, the slate of judges changes. Now, the one thing to note is that we are looking for artists who keep Poe in popular culture. So it has to be work that's been released. Now, it doesn't have to be traditionally published or released or distributed, that kind of thing. Self-published work, totally okay. A lot of creators put their work on social media, that kind of stuff. But it can't be something that, you know, has never seen the light of day. It has to have been published. It has to have been out there. And we have a rolling eligibility of 3 years. So every 3 years, the works get phased out in terms of eligibility. But that's all of the rules are posted at SaturdayVisitorAwards.org. And people can kind of take a look at the guidelines, and you can see some of the folks from last year. We're about to upload some of the videos from this year from our 2023 official nominees. And we, again, you've got about 5 minutes, 5 months to enter your works. And then we announce the official nominees at the end of the summer. And then you get to meet the nominees at the awards. And then we announce the winners at the Black Cat Ball at the festival.
Perfect. So I guess what I would like to kind of know is, so for somebody like me per se, like that may not be able to make it, could I still like submit to the competition of the write-in?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, we've had folks and people enter from all over the world. And that's what makes the festival international. So you do not have to attend the festival to enter a work. We'll miss you. But if you do want to attend the festival and you are nominated, you're invited to come and be a vendor at the festival, meet people at the event, and then come to the Black Cat Ball. But it's not required. Attendance is not required. We've got a lot of people. We've had winners as far away as Australia. That's a really long flight. They haven't been able to come out.
Wow.
Yet, but but a lot of fun.
I mean, it already sounds like it. I mean, maybe next year I can plan on showing up then. Maybe it'll be in my budget next year.
I hope so. During the, you had asked about the pandemic, you know, when, you know, in 2020, the festival did go virtual. We did have some virtual components. And the following year, we continued some virtual tours. As the festival has grown, our staff is still, we're still really limited because we're so small. And so we have to get great big once a year and then go back to being really little So we need volunteers and help for the virtual side of things to bring those back, because the demands of the end of the in-person event are starting to take over everything. But we welcome participation and help from everyone, and come out, have a good time if you can.
How did one like volunteer to help you guys out if they were interested?
Well, this year, our volunteer portal is closed, but in April of every year, we open the portal and call for volunteers. Folks can sign up to help virtually. Folks can sign up to come and be on the ground, be at the event. Now, you have to like a lot of activity. It's a super busy week. Even though the festival itself is only 2 days, you know, we have an exhibit at Westminster Hall that goes on for an entire week. We've got a lot of, you know, preliminary activities and stuff like that going on. So it's starting to grow. So we will always need bodies. Always need bodies.
Nice. Now, are you just saying that because it's almost October, so we need bodies? No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
It's Poe. It's every
classic. Now, is there anything I haven't mentioned about the fest that you're like kind of like dying to mention? Because like honestly, I don't really know how much more I can like go into.
How much more can there possibly be? One thing. When you visit the website, you'll see our Red Mass Festival Pass. I talked to you about the Murder Mystery Company and all that other stuff. But one of the things I'm super proud of, super excited, and going on for an entire week this year is our Poe in Comics exhibit, combined with the Poe Death exhibit at Westminster Hall. And you can find information about that on the website too, on our social media. We will be showcasing over 100 years of Edgar Allan Poe appearing in comics, whether, you know, comic strips, caricatures, this kind of thing, whether it's Poe as a character or his adaptations of his works and all of the original stuff inspired by Poe that we've seen just explode over the last, 20, 25 years, over 100 years of Poe in comics on display at Westminster Hall. And it's really fun because, as I mentioned, Westminster Hall is such a cool building all of its own. So to get to see inside the church is a lot of fun. But that Poe and Comics exhibit, super proud of that. And really want to thank the Richard Corbin Estate, Corbin Studios, for sending us original work from Richard Corbin's estate, original pages that he did. You get to see that original work on display. Some wonderful, wonderful things. Manga Classics contributed to our exhibit this year. Comic Art House sent some wonderful artists have contributed original comic work to be sold in support of Poe House. So super excited about that. And then Artway Alliance is going to be doing some live art workshops, streaming live from Westminster Hall the entire first week of October. So as much as all of that stuff is jam-packed into the festival, we're very, very proud of this exhibit, really proud of the live workshops that we're going to be able to do the first week of October. And if you can come to Baltimore and kind of see some of this beautiful work on display, it's just a lot of fun if you love comics.
Which I do. I love comics. So, but it's interesting because when I was little, I didn't really get into them as a little kid. But now, like, as an adult, I'm, like, finding myself every now and then, like, oh, what's the next story coming out for this or something like that? Or what's new that I can get into? So it's kind of weird how that kind of works. So I figured, you know, somebody like me would be more into it when I was little, but no, here I am. And if like a little bit more older now, and here I am like reading comics, which is fine, but it's just interesting how that works.
Poe is everywhere this year. He's been in, you know, comics forever, of course, but you saw, you know, a feature film earlier in the year. You saw Netflix Wednesday. You saw Eurovision this fall. House of Usher, Fall of the House of Usher, starring Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill is in this. It's just really, really cool. I get super excited. I'm almost too happy to to work at Poe House. It's you're supposed to be serious and gothic and stuff. And I'm just like smiling, and then we're doing this, and then we're doing, but I get giddy over all this just really cool stuff. And I loved Poe even before I came to Poe House. So it's a prerequisite to being, to working at the house. You really have to love what you do. So I'm really excited.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, you could, just by talking to you, like, even before, like, I hit the record button, like, you know, I could tell you're really excited for what you guys do and accomplish and stuff like that. So I hope, like, you know, this Poe Fest International can go on for years to come, even like, you know, when you retire from doing the fest, hopefully it can still continue on. But you know, with your enthusiasm that of this already, you know, it's nice that people are like yourself and everybody else that helped you, like I'm assuming your husband as well. You know, it's nice that
he does get drafted.
Well, it's nice to have people that are into it do it, because they already set what they want to do versus somebody who, you know, it's like they get handed, like, you know, get handed it, and then they're just like, they don't really do too much work. Like, I don't want to say the festival name that I attended this year and last year, but there's a big difference between the old owners that were doing it last year compared to the new owners when it came through this year. Like, it was not that much advertising for it. Like, it was terrible. Like, it was more smaller than it was last year, if that even makes sense.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I think a lot of people struggling, you never know, personal situations and stuff, especially after the pandemic and like businesses come and go and stuff like that. I think you're right though. Like, you have to have a core group of people who still love the thing that they're celebrating. And if you get bogged down in all the other stuff, I said it before, that the power of Poe, that's the thing that kind of keeps these traditions, especially in Baltimore, going. So if I ever get tired, I'm pretty gratified to know there are a lot of people who really love Poe. And I know somebody who'd be able to take it beyond me. And just like the baton was passed to me, the baton would be passed to someone else. So I think the power of Poe, always surprised by it. I think that love and that creativity that's part of this, it's art, it's literature, it's poetry. Those things are eternal. And I'm hopeful that we will be able to continue on for years to come. But thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah. Now, I guess before we end the conversation, now, is there any type of ways where, like, even after the festival, when you guys get ready to, you know, do it all over again and stuff, now, how is there a way to keep up to date with, I don't know, newsletters or anything like that for, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, would it be easier for, like, your Poe Baltimore, or would it be easier to go through, like, the Poe Fest International?
Well, Poe Baltimore puts on the festival, so safe bet, if you want to get everything Poe House and the festival, follow Poe Baltimore. It's the Edgar Allan Poe House Museum. We are Poe Baltimore at Facebook and Twitter and on Instagram, on YouTube, and you'll get everything Poe House and the festival if you follow us there. But Poe Fest International, PoeFestInternational.org. We also have the .com, but that's a great place. The website keeps you up to date on everything festival and Saturday Visitor Awards. And so we try to keep everything updated and everything like that. But if you are interested in the museum, come on out and come and visit us. And take a look. And what's really fun is that the festival does include those other locations I mentioned, the Poe Museum in Richmond, the Cottage in New York. We even have a member of our board who's up at West Point, and Poe attended school there for a very brief period of time. But there are representatives from these different organizations that'll come and talk to you about their piece of Poe. And we really enjoy working with them and having them be a part of this. So
awesome. Well, I can't wait to hear more about your future fest like plannings and everything else that sounds like you guys got going on in the October month. So yes, I would be looking forward to having you back on so we can talk more as well. I guess, you know, to wrap it up there, and like, is there any quote and thought that you would like to just say to the listener right now of like, you know, just the final words?
Well, even if you can't come out this year, do please consider coming out next year and come and visit us. Poe House is open 12 months of the year. We keep Poe's chamber door open to visitors. And if you love poetry, if you love even just getting together with folks who like the things that you like, please consider making us one of your Halloween month stops. Kick off your Halloween season with us. Even if you can't come out this year, come out next year.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate your time talking with me today, and I hope that, like I said, your future endeavors work out very well, and I hope it gets a little bit more popular as the years come by. So thank you so much again.
You've definitely helped us with this. Thank you so very, very much, Paul. I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, you as well. And for everybody else listening, I hope you just batten down the hatch to go check it out. I will provide all the links that I can possibly find, especially Poe Baltimore, which I'm assuming probably has all the links. But anyway, check it down in the show notes below, and remember to stay scary.